to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour, science fiction, later on from two episodes of The Planet Man from 1953. But right now, it's X-1, featuring the story Colony from October 10th, 1956 on NBC.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight's story, Colony, by Philip K. Dick.
The existence of Planet Blue, the fourth in orbit around a G-type sun somewhere in the Aldebaran sector, was predicted by spectroscopic analysis and spatio-mathematic equations some 50 years before an exploring mission was dispatched to it. The research team, under Commander Stella Morrison of the Colonial Administration, went into orbit around Planet Blue at 0700 standard sidereal time. Authorized procedures were followed.
Aerial photography completed, Commander.
Anything show on the plates?
Well, Masterson was suspicious of these lines towards the poles, but the angles seem to be coincidence.
They're not artifacts.
Glacial faults. Geological survey reports no volcanism.
Mm-hmm.
The launch is back. Dodge has a landing site pinpointed. Preliminary atmospheric tests look good. There's a 0.7 bulge in oxygen, but it's just enough to make you feel good. Looks like an open-air job. No pressure suits or condenser masks.
Well, that's precisely what they thought on Centauri 1. And the whole expedition was wiped out by spores.
Of course, I was assuming a favorable biocheck.
Mm-hmm.
Preliminary photographic survey, Mr. Wood.
Thank you, Dodds. Do you want them played back here? We haven't transcribed the tape.
If you please, Lieutenant.
393. Al, pipe the photo tapes up here on 324.
Hmm. Looks like a green world, all right. Punch up the tape, if you please, Lieutenant.
All orbital checks proved positive. The atmosphere and gravity Earth normal to three places on the Grayson scale. And the exploratory research ship lowered itself by the Meyerson-Lay atmospheric skip method, came into a stall tail landing just before sunset on a day marked in the logs as Planet Fall Zero. The hatches remained sealed as a two-mile perimeter was scanned by direct instrumentation. Major Lawrence Hall of Biosurvey reported EEG sweeps to the bridge.
Of course, it isn't conclusive. We've run into life forms that didn't broadcast a brainwave at all. The Gryllodon lizard on Ganymede. Skull acted as an effective shielding due to a heavy lead constituent in the body chemistry.
Major Hall, I am not interested in a lecture on extraterrestrial zoology. Is there or is there not life within the range of your instruments?
Well, I'm sorry, Stella. The readings show no electrical brain activity whatsoever, and that covers life down to the level of invertebrates. There may be a few worms turning out there, and unless they're thinking awfully hard about something, we wouldn't pick them up.
Well, thank you. I want preliminary drones out for sampling. How long do you think that will take?
Well, a thorough job, take about 2 weeks.
I have a schedule, Major. How long till you can give me a protective Schedule C clearance?
2 days. Then I ought to check airborne spores and microorganisms.
Carry on, Major.
All right, Stella. I'll let you know if I turn up any, special diseases on Planet Blue.
The Drone sample missiles were dispatched at sunrise. Air scoops, ground samplers, and vegetation choppers returned to base, and the bio team instituted full prescribed tests. Immediately identifiable airborne dangers were ruled out. Outside of the possible allergenic action of pollens, Planet Blue was ruled safe for normal exploratory procedures, and the real work of the survey was gotten underway.
Here's the morning report, Commander. 4 in sick bay, 3 ordered to light duty.
What happened?
Well, last night was liquor ration.
Oh.
Survey teams out in the field. Bio crew under Major Hall. Agronomy, ecological, geological, and deep map teams out.
Any reports back?
Deep map seems to think there's petroleum over to the north, and agronomy reports if you dropped a seed in this soil, you'd have to jump back to keep from being knocked over by the plant.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty good.
Commander, Blue is about as likely a spot for colonization as has been turned up since Harvey's planted in 27.
Well, they'll be glad to hear that in Central. How long do you think until we can send back a clearance?
I've checked with department chiefs. They all estimate about 2 or 3 days more until they're satisfied. All except Bio.
Well, why is Major Hall dragging his feet?
I don't know.
Well, find out. And in the meantime, I'm going to call a staff meeting. Every day we can save on our report is important. If Blue is suitable for colonization, I don't want to waste a minute.
By planetfall plus 3 weeks, all departments had reported favorably except biology. Ecological survey pointed out the difficulty involved in the necessity of importing animal life, but this problem had already been met in the colonization of Gamma 2 and 3, when an entire ecology had been transported in frozen gene banks and fertilized and incubated on the site. Biology, however, still withheld a favorable report.
Look, Larry.
What is the secret, Stella? Cold formality on the bridge and Larry when you're in my lab?
Well, I'm serious. Well, I've just gotten an official query from Central. They want to fish or cut bait on Blue. Your department is the only one holding it up. We're 2 weeks behind schedule.
And the first colony on Vishnu was right on schedule, and 7,000 died of green spots.
That was before the full bio-check technique was worked out.
My dear, do you know how many different microorganisms there are in a cup full of dirt?
I'm not a freshman student of biology.
Oh, dear. And I was hoping I could tempt you into some field work.
Someday, Larry, you're going to make some remark in front of some junior officers or even enlisted personnel, and I'm going to have to call you on it.
Afraid for your dignity, my dear?
Look, I'm in charge of this expedition. My dignity happens to be a function of command, and as such, it's a survival factor.
Ah, well, then you had better take it easy at officers' mess. You know, I saw 2 biomates watching you, climbing the ladder to the bridge. Do you know what their affectionate name for you is?
Major Hall. I'm serious. I want a bio clearance as soon as possible.
And you will get it. As soon as possible.
And when will that be?
When I'm satisfied.
Are the bugs here so dangerous that you're afraid of them?
No, on the contrary. We have yet to find the harmful life form.
Well, you didn't report that. If there are no harmful life forms...
No life. No disease germs. No malignant virus.
Well, then what are you waiting for?
There should be. There should be at least one little fellow who could give you a common cold.
Look, sociology section found no native narcotic plant life. And inasmuch as there is no humanoid life, there is no bootlegging, gambling, immorality, and pornography either. By analogy, that would be a good reason not to colonize. Is that the idiotic logic you're following?
Microbiology is a little different, Stella. And anyway, what is the rush? Blue is something different. There's something peaceful in the air. Why rush to bring picnickers who will drop candy wrappers and fill the pools up with empty beer cans?
Larry, I have a planned board conference in 10 minutes. If you don't bring in some kind of a report by then, I'll have to supersede you under a Section 23.
Ah, yes, that's what happened on Vishnu, isn't it? Followed by Green Spot, and the wagons dragged the corpses out of the colony street.
Never mind that, Major. I want a report.
In the biology section lab, Major Lawrence Hall continued to examine tissue samples from lower fauna and flora samples brought in from Planet Blue. He settled a container of prepared slides and flipped the switch on the electron microscope. Major Hall slid the first slide on the stage of the microscope and adjusted the focus knob.
Come on, come on, come on. There you are. All right, come on, kid. Eat something.
The microorganisms, form of rotifer, displayed none of the characteristics of ferocity and aggression which were normal on several dozen other planets. Presently, however, Major Hall stopped whistling. Inasmuch as the two eyepieces of his microscope twisted suddenly around his windpipe and started to strangle him.
Ooh.
Hall tore at them, but they dug relentlessly into his throat, steel prongs closing like the claws of a trap. With a convulsive effort, he managed to break free and fling the microscope from him.
Oh, that's crazy. It's going to let go of my leg.
He kicked the microscope loose and drew his blaster. As the microscope scuttled away, rolling on its coarse adjustment knobs, he fired. The microscope disappeared in a cloud of metallic particles. The plans board of the research team was assembled in the officer's library. Commander Stella Morrison was outlining plans on a detailed aerial survey map.
This long, flat area is ideal for the actual city. It has an adequate watershed in the hills here, and weather conditions vary sufficiently to give the settlers something to talk about. There are large deposits of various minerals. The colonists can set up their own factories. They won't have to do any importing. Over here is the biggest forest on the planet. If they have any sense, they'll leave it, but if they want to make newspapers out of it, that's not our concern. Now, all reports are in, except bio, and I think that before long we'll be getting...
Stella!
Major Hall, may I remind you that when the consul is in session, no one is permitted to interrupt...
Will you come to my lab?
Look, Hall, if you're not feeling well, you look a little sick.
Yes, well, I should be. My microscope just tried to strangle me.
What?
Oh, I see.
It almost got me, but I blasted it. But that's not the worst.
It isn't?
No. The microscope is still there. After I blasted it, I found it under the lab bench, untouched.
Look, Major, you sure you don't need a psych test?
I don't know. I suppose it does sound a little...
You look post-trauma to me.
Huh? Oh. Well, you're right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Commander.
Put Major Hall on psycho report. I think we'll have to proceed to order colonization here without him.
Major Hall proceeded to Psych Center and, inserting his ID card in the robot Neo Rorschach machine, he placed his hands on the contacts and activated the searching Gestalt circuits. Presently, the green light flashed, indicating tentative diagnosis. Major Hall hit the response key.
Severe disturbance. Instability ratio above 10.
And that's over danger, isn't it?
Yes. 8 is danger. 10 is unusual, especially for a person of your index. Your norm is 4.
Yeah, I know.
I require more data to determine whether this unusual instability ratio is an aberrant reaction or is normal survival oriented.
Well, I can't tell you anymore.
It is illegal to hold back information during a robo-psych test. You will deliberately distort the diagnosis, which is punishable by 6 months forfeiture of pay and allowances or such other penalty as a court-martial may direct.
Thanks a heap. Now look, do you record a high degree of unbalance for me?
There is a high degree of psychic disorganization. But what it signifies, or its etiology, I am unable to determine without further data.
Yeah. Okay, well, just take a tip from me. Stay away from homicidal microscopes.
That is an interesting Freudian slip. You undoubtedly mean homicidal maniacs, not microscopes. This indicates a possible maladjustment in the area of your specialty.
Why don't you go grease your id?
I will consider that suggestion.
Major Hall returned to the biosection lab and tested the atmosphere near the place where he had fired his blast gun at the microscope. The analysis showed a high density of metallic particles colloidally suspended in the air. In a state of confusion, with an emotional distress quotient of at least 0.742, he stripped off his uniform and entered the shower.
Oh. Oh, well, you can't expect anybody to believe a story like that. I must be off my rocker.
Major Hall stepped out of the shower reached for one of the towels on the rack. The towel wrapped around his head and yanked him against the wall. Rough cloth pressed over his mouth and nose. He fought wildly, pulling away. All at once, the towel let go. Major Hall crawled out of the shower and proceeded to dress. His belt, heavy canvas with reinforced metal links, tried to get him around the waist and crush him. The belt, being a heavy-duty issue, was strong, and they rolled on the floor until Hall was able to reach his blaster. He threw himself down in a chair to regain his breath. The arms of the chair started to close around him, but this time he was ready.
Major, I don't believe you were announced.
Look, Commander. Stella.
You're armed. You know that regulations
will be... I'm sorry, Stella. This is important.
Well, what do you want? I have a report here from the robo-psych tester. It says you've hit a ratio of 10 within the last 24-hour period. We've known each other for a long time. Larry, what's happening to
you? Stella, I told you. A little while ago, my microscope tried to strangle me. Then when I was getting out of the shower, a bath towel tried to smother me. I got by that. And while I was dressing, my belt...
Wood, in here on the double.
And I finally blasted that. And then an armchair beside...
Yes, Commander.
Stand by a moment.
Stella, will you listen to me? This is serious. Ordinary objects suddenly turning lethal. Maybe this is what we've been looking for. Maybe this is...
Your microscope tried to kill you?
I told you, its stems got me here around the windpipe.
No one else saw this happen.
No. I blasted it, and then I found it again perfectly all right.
I see. Wood.
Yes, ma'am.
Get two guards and take Major Hall down to Captain Taylor in sick bay. Have him confined until he can be sent back to Terra for examination.
Listen, Stella.
Sorry, Major. You can't prove this story, and we'll just have to assume it's a psychotic projection on your part. And we can't afford to have any psychotics running around loose on this planet. Wood, carry on.
You'll be all right, Hall. Back on Earth, they can clear a thing like this up in a few weeks.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Wood. Maybe I'm just out of my mind.
Here we are. Captain Taylor! Captain Taylor! He should be in. Captain! The hatch isn't locked. Taylor! What's the matter?
That scatter rug is choking. Give me that pull. Open up. Quick before he's crushed. Grab that rug.
Now hear this. Now hear this. General alarm. General alarm. Emergency stations. Emergency stations. Condition red. Sidearms will be issued to all personnel. General alarm.
Captain Taylor tells me the rug came from Terra. His grandmother braided it.
That's what I was trying to tell you. It was not the rug that attacked them.
Then what was it?
Something that looked like this rug. And it was something that looked like a microscope that went for me. And the towel and the belt.
You mean there's some life form that can imitate anything?
Yes, it seems so. And it's deadly.
Hey, Charlie, general alarm. Get up out of that sack. Hey, what'd you do with my gloves? Oh. Hey, where'd I get two pair? Well, eighty, meeny, money. Mo. One pair of gloves is the same as the other. Hey, these gloves are moving. How do you like that? These fool gloves are going for my blast pistol. Charlie, is this one of your crazy electronic gags? Did you rig my gloves? Hey, look out for that pistol! Look out!
Commander, there's another casualty. Lieutenant Dodds.
What happened?
I don't know. He seems to have shot himself.
Oh, no.
Stella, I think that I have something.
Dodds is dead.
Look, we know that this thing can camouflage itself. It can imitate any object it leans up against. All right, now, listen to this.
Larry, we've got
this
to...
is the answer. There's a tape from Captain Galt. He was out on bio survey. He had a throat mic on. He was talking to the operator at base... Now listen to this.
Head for home now.
now. What's this emergency about?
Carl Glad, Stella having hysterics? That's funny. I swear I parked my bucket over by those trees. Well, here anyway. Heat up some coffee for me. I'll be in a couple. Yeah, that's funny. There's another bucket over by the trees. Where'd this one come from? Let me out.
The thing's stuck. Folding up around me. Joe? Joe, get a squad out here. Joe! That's it! I can't get out. It's digestive fluid. Get somebody out here before...
His transmission just stopped. All right, now we're up against some organic form of life, and there should be some way to destroy it. We've already blasted a few, but we don't know how many more there are. Maybe it's an infinitely divisible substance, some kind of protoplasm.
We've had over 12 casualties reported, and there's still five teams out in the field.
All right, the lethal life form. Now, that explains why we found everything else harmless. Nothing could compete with this. We have mimic plants of our own, the twisty slug on Venus, but nothing that goes this far.
It can be killed, though. You said that yourself.
If it can be found. You can't tell. Clothes, rugs, drapes, chairs. We can't tell which is which. We've got to try to find some poison, some spray that will destroy them wholesale.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
In the corner. I never noticed two briefcases over there before. There was only one, I think. How are we going to know?
Shortly after the final casualty report of 30 dead and 12 wounded, Major Hall sealed off the bio quarters and moved in with a team from chem section, all dressed in corrosive resistant suits.
Well, I'll make sure that you've got a tight seal on the neck joint.
What are you going to do, Major?
I've got a combination of hydrogen and arsenic under pressure, arsine gas. That'll give us an idea of how much they've infiltrated. Arsine is deadly to humans, so check your helmets. Now, Sergeant, I don't want any panic blasting. Arsine is inflammable. All right. Release the valve.
As the gas filled the room, the first to go was a filing cabinet, which melted and oozed to the floor, bars and test tubes. The lab was sealed off and a meeting held in Commander Morrison's quarters.
Well, it's protoplasm, all right. You could see that when the mimic shape melted. It was just as big as your hand. They resemble the simple unicellular protozoa. They're gigantic in size compared to microorganisms.
Can we spray them?
Arsine disturbed them. And I suppose enough might kill them. But we haven't got that much. We can't flood the planet. We wouldn't be able to use our blasters, and it's lethal to humans.
We'll have to pull out.
Stella, I'm afraid you don't quite understand. We can't take the chance of carrying them back to the system disguised as a boot or a towel or anything. And they seem to multiply by binary fission. It wouldn't take long to overrun Earth and the rest of the system.
If we stay here, they'll pick us off one by one.
We could have arsine brought in or some other poison, but that would destroy most of the other life on the planet along with it.
Then we'll have to burn the planet clean. Wood?
Yes, ma'am.
Set up a call to system monitor. I'm going to get the unit off here out of danger. After that, we can work out the best way of cleaning off this planet.
You'll run the risk of taking them back to Terra.
Can they imitate higher life forms? Can they masquerade as humans?
Apparently not. They seem to be limited to inorganic subjects.
Then we'll go back without any inorganic material.
But our clothes, they can imitate the synthetic fibers, belts, gloves, boots.
We're not taking our clothes. We're going back without anything at all.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Get me a beam to Central Monitor immediately.
The nearest cruiser was 2 light hours away, Captain Daniel Davis commanding. Tight beam communication was established after coordinates were flashed from Central Monitor.
This is Captain Davis. Can you read me?
I read you. Commander Morrison here. Captain, You are to make a planetfall as soon as possible at coordinates to be supplied you. We are going to board your ship naked.
Naked?
That's right.
That's.
When will you land?
At about 1,500 hours, I'd say.
Captain, would it be possible for your men to...
I'll have my crew below decks. We'll land on robot control.
Thank you. Wood, sign off the transmission.
Yes, ma'am.
There was some objection among the enlisted personnel, particularly in the women's quarters. The ship landed at 1,200 hours, 3 hours sooner than expected.
All hands disrobe immediately. All personnel report to field, ready to embark.
So soon? I didn't hear the ship land.
It's there, all right. We'd better go. Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, you go ahead. I'd rather get ready alone.
Parked in the center of the landing field was a cruiser, its hull pitted and dented by meteor strikes. It lay motionless, with no sign of life aboard. A crowd of naked people was moving across the field, blinking in the bright sunlight. Commander Stella Morrison, without any sign of rank apparent, paused on the ramp and spoke to Major Lawrence Hall beside her.
Larry.
Yeah? What is it?
I'm scared.
Why?
I don't know.
Psychological reaction. Forget it. It's a reaction to nudity carried over from early childhood. Come on, we're holding up the line.
Larry, I want to go back.
Stella, look. Now, at least Davis kept his promise. There are no enlisted men lining the hatches to enjoy the view. You see? It's dark in there. There's nothing to worry about. Come on. Up you go.
The last of the research team filed into the interior of the ship, and the hatch closed behind them. At exactly 1,500 hours, Captain Daniel Davis landed his ship in the center of the field. Automatic relays opened the main lock hatch and lowered the ramp. Davis and his staff sat in the control cabin waiting.
Well, how do you like that? Where are they? Well, maybe the whole fool thing is a joke. We've waited an hour already.
They waited. And waited. But no one came.
You have just heard X-1 presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Double Dare by Robert Silverberg, which demonstrates that pride can lead to much worse than a fall. It can put a man out on a limb and keep him there. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Colony, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by Philip K. Dick and adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Frederica Chandler, John Larkin, James Stevens, Larry Robinson, Bill Quinn, and Alan Bergman. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production. Hear music in the Morgan Manor. Russ Morgan, live weekday morning on NBC Bandstand.
X-1, untuned to yesterday from the 10th of October, 1956 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of science fiction, untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Science fiction in films, magazines, television, and radio was really at a fever pitch in the early to mid-1950s. with the popularity of Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers paving the way for shows like Space Patrol, Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, and several programs that tried to ride the train, or spaceship, of popularity. Among them was a syndicated show on radio called The Planet Men, which, unlike X-1, let's say, brought the children angle to the series with characters Billy and Jane, who assist Dantro, the Planet Men, in his adventures to bring peace and justice throughout space. This wasn't the best loved or most revered show by any means, but certainly part of the history of sci-fi in the air. Here now are two shows back-to-back, number 9 and number 10, from the 78-episode run of The Planet Man.
The Planet Man! The Planet Man! This is the fascinating story of Dantro, the Planet Man, troubleshooter for the League of Planets organization, the law enforcement body for peace and justice in the celestial world, whose headquarters and center of operations are situated on the capital of all the planets, Planaria Rex. From Mercury to Pluto, wherever danger threatens the universe, you will find Dantro, the Planet Man, fighting for fair play. In a moment, The Planet Man. You'll remember that Planet Man, Pat, and Slats are deep in the ancient tunnels beneath the Palace of Marston, evil ruler of Mars. They have what they believe to be just 6 hours to thwart Marston's plans to conquer the Earth and throw the solar system into war. Billy and Jane, held as hostages by Marston, have disappeared. Back on Planaria Rex, Judge Augustus and Professor Darrow hope for some miracle to stop Marston before the deadline set by the other planets to strike, actually only 4 hours away. In the meantime, Dantro, Slats, and Pat are desperately seeking a plan to stop Marston and save Billy and Jane.
Whatever we do, Slats, we must be right. It'll be tough, but if we could only eliminate Marston, we'll throw the whole campaign into confusion. That's the weakness of dictatorship, Slats. When something happens to the dictator, no one is trained to think for himself.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but...
Dantro! Slats, come here, hurry!
Something's wrong. Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, where are you, Pat?
Up ahead of you, here.
What's wrong, Pat? Are you hurt?
Oh, I'm all right. But look at what I found. I was just sort of exploring while you two were talking, and I leaned against the wall here, and a whole section of it disappeared. There's some kind of a room in there with machinery in it.
Boy, oh boy, look at that stuff. That gadget looks big enough to be almost anything. What is it, Dantro?
It's one of the ancient machines. It seems to be in perfect condition. We found them before, but they've always been wrecked or damaged.
Will it help us? Maybe we can use it against Marston.
Can you operate it?
Well, I can try. Let's see. This looks like a power switch. We'll throw it and find out.
You've done it. You've done it. How wonderful.
No, not so fast, Pat. That's just the power. Do you realize how remarkable this is? This machine is at least 40,000 years old, and it works as though it were built yesterday.
Hey, what's this stuff over here?
Oh, no, don't touch anything, Slats, until we've had a chance to figure out the way the different parts work. We may destroy it or ourselves.
It does look something like your cosmic communicator. See, there's a kind of a screen.
You're right, Pat. Here, let me try those dials. Easy now.
Hey, look, the screen's lighting up.
Something's forming on it. What is that, Dantro?
It's a picture, all right, but I don't recognize anything. Wait, let's try some different adjustments.
I recognize that. It's the jungle outside the palace. See, that's one of the ruins we passed. Remember that funny-looking tower?
Right, you are. I think I've got the hang of it now. Let's look in on a few friends and enemies and see what's been going on.
Me, Jane, and don't make a sound.
Where are we going?
I don't know, but any place is better than that storeroom. Marston had us cooped up in.
I'm glad that guard left the door unlocked.
Girls always talk too much. I told you to be quiet.
All right. But I was wondering what happened to Slats. He was going to come back.
You can't worry about that now. We've got to try and get away from that awful Marston.
Do you really think we can?
Will you be quiet?
All right. Look, there's a window or something.
I see it.
Billy, be careful.
I'm just looking out. Hey, come here.
Wow. There must be 1,000 spaceships out there.
Gosh, it sure looks bad for the Earth.
What do you mean?
Oh, Jane, you're so dumb. That's the fleet Martians going to use to attack the Earth. They won't have a chance. One of those big jobs could probably do it all alone.
Billy, don't talk like that.
I can't help it, but it's true. They can just sit up in space where our planes and guns can't reach them and destroy anything they like. From what I've heard the guards say, just their rays alone can wipe out a city like New York in a few minutes.
Isn't there something somebody can do? I wish Dantra were here. He'd stop me.
Well, he's not, so it's up to us.
Up to us? Billy, what are you talking about? What can we do?
I don't know, but we can't just stand here.
Maybe we could somehow warn the Earth. Then people could at least go into air raid shelters and places like that. Even if Marston did destroy the buildings, the people would be all right.
If is right. Hey, gee, maybe that's an idea.
What are you talking about?
Listen carefully. You see those little ships right over here near the palace?
Sure. What about them?
You notice how everybody seems to be busy around the big ones?
That's right. There's nobody over with the small ones at all. But what good does that do us?
I'll bet if we tried, we could sneak into one of them.
Well, suppose we did. What good would that do?
Gosh, don't be so dumb. We could take off and fly to Earth and warn the people about Marston.
Billy, you're crazy. You can't fly one of those.
I'll bet I can. I've watched Dantra when he was flying the Planeteer. And I'm sure I remember what to do.
Billy, where are you going?
Down to the field.
Billy! Billy, wait for me!
Will Billy and Jane be able to get into one of the Armada ships? And if they do, what then? We'll be back in a moment, so level up. When we left Billy and Jane, they were trying to sneak aboard one of the Marston Armada spaceships. They hoped to take off and warn Earth of the impending attack from Mars. In the meantime, Dantro, Pat, and Slats have discovered a most amazing device in the depths of Marston's palace, which was part of an ancient Martian civilization. As we find them now, they are operating this device.
Look, there's the leak of planets fleet. There must be 5,000 ships.
The greatest concentration of power in history of the solar system, Pat. And it's all going to hit right here if we don't do something.
But what can we do? We've been trying to figure this machine out for an hour, and all we can do is look in and listen to people. At least if we could figure out how to send messages, we might be able to tell Judge Augustus and Professor Darrow what's happening.
And we have 2 hours less than we thought we did.
Yeah.
How much time is left before the deadline, Dantro?
About 2 hours now, Pat.
Can't you figure out how to work this overgrown pipe organ?
I'm doing the best I can, Slats. If only I could understand the symbols the ancients used, it would be much easier. But as it is, I'm just guessing.
Why don't we just pull down all the things at once?
Slats, you're an engineer. You know better than that. I'm sure a machine as powerful as this has some kind of an anti-tampering control built in. If we fool around too much, the whole thing will cut off.
Leave him alone, Slats. If you keep interrupting, it'll just be that much longer.
That's all right, Pat. Sometimes questions like that make you think of things you wouldn't have otherwise.
Okay, I'll shut up. Let's get back to work.
This way, Jane. Duck down here next to me.
Billy, I hear footsteps. There's a guard or something coming.
Oh, Jane, I hear them too. Now, just stay here and be quiet.
That was close. Where do we go now?
I think if we go out that door, there's a wall we can follow that'll take us to within a few yards of a ship. Come on. I was right. See, there's a ship over there.
We aren't going to go across that open space, are we?
How else can we get there?
Someone will see us.
Let's not even think about it. Get ready now. Come on.
Billy, we made it.
Let's just hope there's no one on board. The control deck must be up this way.
I hope you know what you're doing.
It's too late now to turn back.
Look at all those gadgets. Are you sure you remember how to work them?
Sure. Just leave everything to me.
What are you doing? What's that for?
That's the switch that turns on the atomic pile. And the scrap rake rods slide out. Anyhow, it's something like that.
What are you doing now?
Will you be quiet? I'm trying to concentrate. I'm sure this thing makes us run. And then this one is the direction control.
I'm scared.
Why, you girls, you're always scared.
Maybe I am, but I'm right here with you anyhow.
You think you're fooling me, but you're not. You're just as scared as I am, only you won't admit it.
All right, all right. Only, gee whiz, stop gabbing, won't you? How do you expect me to think? Well, here goes. Billy! Billy, we're going up! What did you think we'd do? Go down? Earth, here we come!
Captains, you know our plan. In an hour and a half, we strike. Scout ships will move in ahead and pick the targets. You, Captain Thor, will take your Mercurian heat ray cruisers on the left flank, and you, Sark, will cover the right with your disintegrators. The Venusian atomic artillery platforms will hover at 500,000 miles and bombard targets of opportunity. I will be in the center, and...
Sir, one of our patrols just reported a Martian scout taking off.
One ship, you say, a scout?
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, this is what we've been waiting for. We will strike now, but first we must destroy that scout. It may be a trick of some sort. Captain Mato, take two light cruisers, intercept that scout, and burn it out of space. The rest of you, back to your ships and stand by for the order to attack.
It looks as though the greatly feared war of the solar system is at hand. And all because the League of Planets squadron doesn't know that the Martian ship which just took off is being piloted by Billy and Jane, who hope to prevent the war by their getaway. What will be the fate of Billy and Jane? What is the fate of the entire planet world? We'll be back in a moment. Tune in again for more transcribed thrills and adventures. Rocket millions of light years into space with Dan Trow, the Planet Man.
The Planet Man.
The Planet Man, on Tuned to Yesterday from 1953. That was episode 9 in their series. Here now is episode 10.
You will recall that Dantro the Planet Man, Pat and Slats are racing against time to solve the mysterious powers of the ancient machine beneath Marston's palace. Billy and Jane, having escaped from Marston, are now speeding away from Mars in a stolen spaceship, speeding right into the ray guns of the League of Planets fleet, which thinks it to be one of Marston's vanguard. Now Jane is talking to Billy.
Are we headed for Earth, Billy?
I hope so. I was sure I remembered everything Planet Man did when he drove the Planeteer. I never realized it could be so many dials and levers and gadgets.
You got us off the field, all right.
Yeah, but I can't seem to figure out the rest of this stuff. But don't worry, Jane, I will. Just give me time.
I want that ship blasted out of space. Captain, take off at once, follow that ship and catch it. If you have to go all the way to Pluto, when you do, destroy it.
Nothing is going to stop us, is it, FEMA? Soon now our fleet will head for Earth. In a week, that stupid planet will be under our control. Then the rest of the planets will not dare stand against us. If they do, we will smash them.
I'm sure this section of the machine is a sending apparatus. Well, it's not like anything I've ever seen. There's so many extra adjustments. What are you getting on the receiver slats?
We've been watching Planaria Rex and the League of Planets fleet. Something funny is happening with the fleet. Isn't time for them to strike yet. There's over an hour left, but they've been grouping in battle formation, and two cruisers just went off in the direction of Mars.
You don't think they're going ahead without waiting?
No, I know the Admiral, and he's a stickler for orders. If he's been told to wait, he'll wait. Here, you see if you can get any sense out of this, slats. Let me take over that spy ray for a few minutes. I better check and see just what is going on.
Okay, I'll take a crack at it, but if it's got you stuck, I'm sure it'll be even worse for me.
I'll turn it back to Marston and see how our ugly friend is getting along.
Look, there's a ship taking off there. See, at the end of the field.
That must be why the League of Planets fleet is getting ready for action. Their orders are to strike if any of Marston's ships take off. But none of the other ships in Marston's fleet seem to be ready to rise.
Turn it back to the League of Planets fleet. Maybe we'll learn something from them.
Good idea, Pat. There.
Look at that, Dantro. Oh, if I wasn't so worried about the reason, I think it was beautiful. Thousands of spaceships, and they move as though they were one.
They know what they're doing, all right. I just hope they don't have to do it. I think I'll try to pick up the flagship. Ah, that's it. Now we'll move into the control deck and see what we can learn.
The Martian scout ship has not changed course. It's some kind of trick. We'll give the ship one chance to surrender, and if they refuse, we'll blast them at once. We must not chance betraying our presence to Marston.
They must be talking about that ship we just saw take off.
There's something funny about that. I heard the Admiral say scout, didn't you, Slats?
Yeah, that's what he said. What about it?
That ship we saw take off from Mars was a cruiser, not a scout.
You mean there's another ship?
We'll find out in a minute.
You can't cover all of space.
No, but we know the ship, whatever it is headed from the field toward the fleet. We'll just backtrack. See, like this. Now keep your eyes on the screen. Even with this powerful machine, a scout ship in space is an awfully small target.
Wait. Hold it. Is that it there?
I think you're right. Let me sharpen the focus a little. You are right. That's it.
Well, who can it be? They're headed right into the fleet. They're either trying to commit suicide or just plain crazy.
Well, we've got more important things to worry about than that. The two cruisers the Admiral dispatched will take care of that ship.
I know you'll both think I'm silly, but I just feel we should look inside that scout.
Pat, we've got no time to waste. If we don't figure this machine out in the next hour, we'll all be in the soup.
Oh, please, Danter, just one look.
I see the women from Earth are as curious as those from the other planets. All right, Pat, one quick look. We'll just move in like this and... No. No, I don't believe it. It can't be.
The kids. How the diggers did they get there? What are they doing in that ship?
Billy. Jane. Oh, Dantra, they're all right after all.
We're in a bad spot. Now I know why that second ship took off from Mars. It's after them. Billy was always trying to get me to teach him to fly a spaceship. I guess they stole that one somehow and managed to get it into the air.
Let's listen to them for a minute. Maybe we can find out how they did it.
There's no time now, Pat. We've just got to get the sending part of this machine working. If that Martian cruiser ever catches them, it'll be too bad. And I'm afraid that the League of Planets fleet is too busy to ask questions before they blast. It's up to us to save them. Come on, Slats, let's get to work.
Can Dantro and Slats get the sending apparatus of the ancient machine in operation and inform the Admiral of the League of Planets squadron that Billy and Jane are in the scout ship? Will the Martian cruiser overtake Billy and Jane and blast them out of space?
Tell them to proceed according to plan.
Just a moment, Admiral.
Dantro. How did you get here? Where did you come from? No one told me you'd come aboard.
I'm not really aboard, Admiral, but there's no time for that now. You must give those two cruisers orders not to harm that scout ship.
Not harm it? Are you crazy? We can't afford to let them get word back to Master that we're out here waiting.
Don't worry, they won't. That's not the enemy. There are only two in that ship, the Earth children, Billy and Jane Darrow.
Are you sure you know what you're talking about?
Admiral, you've known me for a long time. I ask you to believe me. Please, give the orders.
Very well, but I hope you know what you're doing. Order the two cruisers to keep the ship under surveillance, but to hold their fire until further word from me. Now, Dantro, what's this about your not being aboard? I can see that you're there in front of me. I can hear you. You're not going to tell me I'm seeing things.
In a way, you are. Actually, I'm 5 million miles away in a room under Marston's palace.
What? You're joking.
Just believe me, and don't worry, Admiral. It's not magic. But there's something else I must tell you now. You must not attack Marston's fleet now.
Not attack Marston? Why, you're going too far, sir. I have my orders.
But you don't understand. This machine may give us an answer that will stop Marston and still avoid war. Once your fleet strikes, war is inevitable.
That is not in my province to discuss. I am an officer under the orders of the League of Planets, and my orders were to attack if a ship left the field on Mars.
But I told you those two kids are on that ship.
Dantro, I know you and respect you. I have rescinded my orders to attack that scout, but now you ask me to hold up the entire fleet? That is too much.
Give me an hour, then. 1 hour. Isn't it worth waiting if we can avoid solar war?
Well, very well. I may be making a mistake, but I will give you that hour. But that is all. I cannot wait another second beyond it.
Thank you, Admiral. I hope it'll be enough.
Where are you going now?
There's a Martian cruiser pursuing those kids. They're getting ready to blast them out of space. I have to stop that somehow.
Oh, wait! Where did he go? Confound it. How can he be here one moment and gone the next?
Traitors to Mars, whoever they are. Now, we are coming to the range of the scout ship. Stand by to burn them out of space.
Not so fast.
Planet Man.
Your ray gun can't hurt me, Captain. Nothing you can do can hurt me.
This is some trick. How did you get on board? Seize him. Get a good hold on him. Why are your hands passing through him?
Take my word for it. You can't harm me. I'm only an image. Now, listen, you must turn back to Mars.
Who are you to tell me not to obey Marston? I have my orders, and nothing will stop me from carrying them out. Prepare to destroy that scout.
Captain, if you do not listen, you'll regret it.
Planet Man, you do not frighten me. I would consider it an honor to die for our leader, Marston.
Very well. You may have the chance.
Mm-hmm.
know where we are now, Billy?
We're still heading out from Mars, but I'm sure we're heading the right way. I'll figure it out sooner or later. I wish...
Billy, look. I must be dreaming.
We're both dreaming. It can't be.
You're not dreaming. It's Dantro in a way, but there's no time to talk. Billy, snap that switch over there. It'll turn on the radar screen.
What's that on the screen?
It's a Martian cruiser. Unless we can do something about it, it's going to burn this scout ship in about a minute.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Here, you take the control.
No, Billy. I can't explain now, but it wouldn't do any good if I took over. I can't operate the ship. I'm not really here.
What can we do?
You two kids will have to do it. I'll tell you what to do and how. But you'll have to do the actual work. Do you think you can?
Sure. Come on, Jane.
No. Jane will have to man the turret and fire the heat rays. Billy, you'll operate the ship. Listen to me closely and do just as I tell you. If my plan works, we may get away yet.
Billy and Jane are now being guided by the three-dimensional image of Dantro. Will Billy and Jane follow through on Dantro's split-second instructions? Can they fight off the Martian cruiser? Tune in again for more transcribed thrills and adventures. Rocket millions of light years into space with Dantro, the Planet Man. The Planet Man.
The Planet Man, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated episode from 1953, wrapping up this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. And until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. It's been a pleasure.